unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Oh, listen to that crowd today. That's overwhelming. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining us on Lawyers Who Needs Them on this Monday before Election Day. It is electric in the air. Anything can happen. The polls are getting tighter by the second.
I just hope it's over.
And most people wish it was over.
I wish
so
it was
we
over
can just get on with the... what we have to do anyway, but I just
the usual corruption.
Right, back to the usual. Let's introduce ourselves, and then we'll cover a topic related to the elections. My partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys, and he's argued cases before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the president and CEO of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, serving over 12,000 people with this disease in 50 counties across upstate New York.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and a sense of humor back in.
Absolutely. Now, if you'd like to call us with a question, and we encourage you to do that, because it gets lonely here, just the two of us, you can reach us toll-free anywhere in North America. Write this down. Here we go. 1-888-463-6748. That's it. Call right in. We'll answer your question. 1-888-463-6748. Now, if you're outside of North America, and we do have listeners that go beyond the borders of North America, you can dial us.
They go beyond the borders of sanity.
That's correct.
Of any America.
That's
of this world.
They go beyond the borders. Let's just leave it at that. Otherwise, we'll have a bunch of illegals breaking in here. You can dial us at 011-847-470-0937. That's 011, if you're out in Australia, 847-470-0937. And we encourage you to call, please. We are very polite to our listeners. We show a lot of respect, not for each other, but for our listeners. So, without any... Oh, wait, one other thing. I forgot. If you are shy and you'd like to send us a question, just click on the Talk Zone button, type in a question on your computer, and we will get it and answer it as quickly as we can. And if you're really shy and you don't want to talk to anybody in your spare time, go to the official LawyersWhoNeedsThem.com website, which is LawyersWhoNeedsThem.com. And you can write us a question, and we'll answer it on next week's show. So now, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. And before we start, I mean, we have to say something about the great election, which is coming up. A lot of unique things happening. A woman running for vice president. An African-American running for president. So there's lots of interesting things. But one of the things that has been characteristic of the Obama camp is that they're talking about kind of redistributing some wealth.
Well.
You know, he's used the term share the wealth. Biden has said, you know, it's patriotic to share the wealth. Well, we did a little research into sharing the wealth, and here's what we found. Looking at Obama's charitable giving in since 2000 based on his tax returns, we find that Obama consistently refused to follow his own advice, and that, of course, is to spread the wealth, when he had the opportunity to do so. Now, this is especially true in years when he made nearly $250,000 or more. From the year 2000 through 2004, Obama's charitable giving was less than 1%. Less than 1%. Now, his running mate, Jumpin' Joe Biden, was even stingier. Spreading the wealth. His tax records were released in September, and they revealed that over the past decade, he had only donated an average of $369. $369
per year.
And in 2007,
that's about one tenth of what
he's about a 0.03 of what he's making. Here's what in his charitable giving in 2007, which is the most recent, was $995, and that was 0.03% of income in a year which his tax return
and that went to most of it went to the Biden Memorial for the frostbitten children of Cuba.
That's right.
So,
right. Well, he did that on a salary of $319,000. Now,
that's not his salary. It's probably some of which he can corruptively get. But the salary for a senator is about $160,000.
Okay, I'll change it.
But
his
the rest
tax
of it
return,
may have been his wife's income, or
if they
he may have
jointly.
Some separate income from
right, he
investments.
And he goes around and gives lectures. Exactly.
Bribes.
Whatever he does. But he gave up about, $995. I mean, these two guys don't share the wealth. They just don't. Now, by comparison, John McCain.
Naturally, they didn't say they want to share their wealth.
Right.
They would like you to share our wealth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, McCain has donated more than one quarter of his income in 2006, 2007. In 2006, he donated 28.6%, and in 2007, 27.3%. And according to the New York Observer, since 1998, he's donated royalties on his books totaling more than $1.8 million. And I got to tell you, when it comes to charity, it's not the group that talks about it all the time. It's the group that makes money and shares it. So there you go. If you're sharing the wealth, fellas, at least walk the talk. Okay? If you're going to talk the talk, walk the talk. Anyway, now that I've got that aside, imagine what they'll get with their presidential and vice presidential salaries.
Well,
probably get $98 be donated next year. I mean, that's so revealing to me.
It is revealing because
you and I donated more what they donated.
Oh my God, yes.
And we don't know anything and we don't make any money.
That's right.
There you go. All right, let's take our first.
If you keep donating, how are you going to make any?
Right, that's the problem. Right. We're giving it all away. All right, the U.S. Supreme Court this week ruled on whether people can sue.
Didn't rule.
It's taking the case.
It is. Why don't you listen? I tell you what's
going on. All
right.
Tell me what's going on.
They have the cases up before them today.
Okay.
They're arguing. The case of Diana Levine against the Wyeth Drug Company, pharmaceutical company.
Right.
And it's very much like the case we discussed last week about light cigarettes. People said they were suing because the light cigarettes implied, if they didn't say, that this would be less tar and resins and they wouldn't get cancer.
Right.
And they got cancer and there isn't less tar and resins. So they sued and that case was the first case heard. And that also involves the question of federal preemption. That means that where the FDA has approved the labeling of a product, can you sue in state court? Or is that field of law preempted by the federal, which is the higher law? Now, the same thing has occurred in this case, but this is an unfortunate, it's very unfortunate, because Diana Levine lost her arm and her hand, and from a faulty injection of some drug, which is called Phenergan. PH, of course, any drug is F. The F sound is always PH. I don't know why, and they can't just use an F in the drug company business. But anyway, she got that. They gave her an injection. It's called a push injection, and apparently they say not to use a push injection because she can get gangrene, which she got, and she lost her arm. However, what's important here is that she's a violinist and a piano player and a guitarist.
So she needed her arm.
And you need your arm.
Right.
Very much. You need your fingers and all that kind of
thing.
Right.
So what happened to her? She
lost her arm. What happened? She's not playing a guitar anymore. You know that. She's certainly not playing the piano unless she can play by ear. And she'd have to have a pretty fast ear to hit those keys, maybe with both ears. I don't know.
Well, one arm and one ear.
Well, so she brought an action.
Right.
Stating that the warning on the label concerning the fact that this could create, if improperly used, gangrene. She brought an action in the Vermont court, and she was awarded by the jury $6.7 million, which was sustained by the highest court in Vermont, and they took it into federal court, into the United States Supreme Court, saying it violates the preemption or supreme law provisions of the United States Constitution, and that the field has been preempted. And that having had the labels approved by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, which has jurisdiction over drugs. That's what the D is. That's the drugs. Mm-hmm. The F is food. Mm-hmm. And the A is administration.
Thank you.
I thought I'd let you know that.
That's very nice. That's so cleared it up for a lot of people.
No, only for you. Most people would figure it out themselves. So it's a very, very important case. I'm not joking about her injuries. It's a very, very serious injury.
Right.
Secondly, it's a very, very important case, particularly to lawyers. The plaintiff's lawyers are submitting what they call friend of the court briefs. We call it amicus curiae, a friend of the court briefs. There are about 40 some odd on one side, and all of the drug companies are submitting briefs on the other side. These are supposed to be helpful. Usually they're very repetitive, and I think they overdo it. What are you going to say in 47 briefs you can't say at five?
That's what happens. Well,
they're going to. This is a very, very important case. It's being watched by the corporations because they're very much would like to discourage lawsuits on product liability, and it's being watched on the other side because many of us think that this preemption theory is really a way to deprive people of a trial by jury. And of course, under the Bush administration, which is also submitting an amicus brief to on the side of the drug companies, they seem to be absolutely bent on eliminating trial by jury, particularly in civil cases. And I hope that my own thought is I don't think preemption should apply. The fact that I'm a lawyer may have something to do with it.
Yeah, probably a little bit to do with it.
But really and truly,
have an opinion.
It's so ridiculous to think that because you comply with a regulation which may not meet the need. In other words, you can pass a regulation that isn't sufficient. Are we going to concern ourselves with safety, or are we going to concern ourselves with compliance? Are we going to concern ourselves with the health and welfare of individuals, our citizenry? Or are we going to worry about whether a company complied with some written thing that didn't cover the field and wasn't good? So,
and there you have
know
the fundamental question. That's right. Those are the fundamental questions that will be argued at the Supreme Court. And here's just a snippet.
They were argued today.
There's a snippet of what they said today.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And that's the problem with those people.
That's what it sounds like up there.
That's exactly right. What they're talking about.
But, all right. I'm afraid. I shouldn't say afraid. Well, yeah, I can say afraid because I'm on the side of non-preemption at this court.
Answer that phone, will you?
This court will sustain preemption.
And, all right. Well, that being said, you said enough.
I say enough?
Yeah, you did. I think you covered it. You gave a comprehensive...
Does everybody out there feel I've said enough?
Listen, if you feel you've said enough...
Please write or
email us. Call us at 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. Toll free. Call us and say, you've had enough. Okay? Let us know, and we'll just put him on ice. All right. Hey, look at this lawyer. He burns his Harvard Law diploma,
right,
and he gives up a $300,000-plus salary. Why?
Well, I
tell
can only
why.
Say that this fellow, which this actually happened.
Yeah, of course.
He gave up a $300,000-plus annual salary and opted for a much simpler life.
Right.
And he announced this on his blog in June.
Yes.
That he was giving up this salary. And as a symbolic thing.
Gesture.
Gesture. Good. Good word. Gesture. Symbolic gesture. He burned his Harvard Law diploma.
And now his life is simpler. Now, he's a goat herder.
Well, he says, you know, that's right. Well, that's right. And climbing hills and whistling with that staff that he carries.
That's right.
Biblical.
And
now.
Occasionally you can hear him, Ricola.
That's right. Not mention, it came together for him. He went out. He said it was a beautiful weekend.
He had an epiphany.
It was a beautiful weekend, and he said the trails were inviting, and freedom just seemed to be around the corner. So he went for it.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean he hates Harvard, he said. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that he doesn't want to knock Harvard, doesn't want to knock lawyers. He just wants to have a nice, comfortable life.
There you go.
And not comfortable in a way of money,
right,
but to carry on with his goats and his sheep in the fields and lays of the different places in the world,
the hills,
and in a country where he can breathe free, where he can feel free, where he can stay there, he, and commune with nature, close to God and close to others. Who are in a, well, he's close to sheep there, which I mentioned the other. I hope he's not the guy.
No,
I hope
no,
he's
no,
not the guy
back.
That was in court
no,
for sodomizing
sheep.
A sheep.
No, no, no. I don't think so.
Wow.
This fellow was on the up and up.
I don't know.
Jeez.
Anyway.
All right. Well, there you go, folks. Lawyers can.
Hey, listen. It's can, I can understand listen. It. Let me say this to
go
you.
Go ahead. Say me.
Let me
say
let
something.
Let
to me.
Me say something to you. That law is a tedious, boring profession most of the time.
Yeah.
Now I had a lot of, I did a lot of interesting work, but most of the lawyers sit around, you know, drafting these interminable documents, like for instance a prospectus for an issuance of stock where they're going to issue stock. You think that's exciting?
No.
Is that exciting?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. You could get all nervous and excited over the fact that the whereas and the wherefores and the parties are the second by the third part with the wherefore and therefore and wherefore and all the different wherefores and herefores. These guys have got to be absolutely buggy. I mean, boredom.
Well,
jeez.
I don't think very many people will feel sorry for them. But if this gentleman is now out enjoying singing with Julie Andrews, The Hills Are
That's
Alive,
right,
with The Sound of Music.
Sound
God bless
music.
Him. And we salute you. Okay.
That's right. Oh, The Hills Are Alive with the sound of some goats and sheep.
That's right.
And some cows.
And some beans.
And it was, that's right.
All right. Hard times are causing law firms to consider new fee structures. And all I can say is, it's about time.
Well, you're absolutely right. They are getting hit by the shrinking economy. And it's about time they got hit. And they should get hit harder. Law firms will be willing to discount fees and try alternative billing. That's alternative to the hourly billing rates.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, there's a New York City firm, law firm consultant by the name of Bruce McEwen,
mm-hmm.
and another one by the name of Cheryl Willard. And they are the ones who are suggesting that they find a different basis on which to bill their clients, because McEwen said law firms are facing rate pressures. And as an example, he said a company fired its outside law firm after its $1,000 an hour billing rates became public. I don't know why they waited for it to become public.
Right.
Because if they billed me $1,000 an hour, this member of the public would have thrown them out on their cans
right,
uh-huh. right at, on the receipt of the bill.
They must
and
be
I
very
wouldn't
good.
Pay them. I wouldn't pay them $1,000 an hour. So these guys have gotten out of hand.
Yeah, they have.
And
out of pocket.
And the Fortune 500 companies are seeking to scrutinize their legal tabs now that they find out how many lawyers they put on everything, and they charge and charge and charge. And they're hiring task forces or appointing task forces to go over the bills line by line. So there are other ways to bill. And I've always said that the hourly rate, of course, is a conflict because you're building more hours.
Right.
But if you're given an advance retainer and say, here's what you're getting paid, do the job. Or you say, look, I'll pay you so much an hour. And if you succeed, I'll give you a success fee as well.
Bonus.
That's
we go.
Better.
That
That's
sounds
better.
Fair.
Well, it's fairer than what we got going now. So at any rate, they'll suffer. And as you say, it's time.
It's time. The time has come. It's time has come. It's time for an alternative.
That's right.
And, folks, our time has come. It's time for a short intermission. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them right here live on Talk Zone Radio.